keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, 4th Wednesday, month of February, and in this Black History Month. And hopefully you all have partaken in something culturally, or how about just some soul food sometime, you know? shopped, bought something, participated, looked something historic, you know, just something. So that can enrich yourself mentally. Anyway, and don't forget from whence you've come. This is not just for Black people. This is for mainstream America. It would be real nice if you came out of that bubble. Surprise! What you might find. Anyway, your your family did some genealogy stuff too, right? I think. Didn't we talk about that over the years? I see.
We did. Your mother. Remember we did a test. We had the guy from.
No, I mean from your parents and stuff.
Not exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they
get them at the family reunions.
Yeah, and everybody gets to pass along the stories and stuff.
Yeah.
But your family does a family reunion. Yes, okay.
Yes, both sides.
Oh, well, then you guys can clearly get, you know, find out a lot like that. Okay. Well, whatever it takes. So when Lisa comes back, we're going to talk about those slave
records. And they're fun.
Records.
You know, it's good to go and hear from whence you've come, where you come from, and be able to track that path. It's you're always in awe. Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, you're in awe if it's like the person has done, mm-hmm. you know, something. But if they have gone through hell, mm-hmm. you know, I in some of my research and discovery of documents that I have found is I saw clearly discrimination to great-great-grandparents, Civil War era, when it came time to try to get any kind of government benefit. They were denied. Denied. And, you know, what they were going through, and going to the VA, the Veterans Wadsworth, and trying to get treatment and stuff. And the physicians denied. Because I was reading the reports, the medical reports and things of that nature that I had gotten, and then my brother had sent me some of his. And you could just see these patterns, mm-hmm. you know, of disrespect, of abuse. You know, I've seen stuff on my family that chattel records, mm-hmm. and couple of the things that popping off the top of my head about service in the Civil War and service in, I told you that my great-great-grandfather was the first Black police officer in Atchison, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And we had the proclamation from the mayor's office and articles, newspaper articles. So I went back there some years ago. But I like doing that kind of stuff and going to the place. That makes it so interesting. And there was a lot of things that were tied to when Tennessee and Kentucky were one state and it was just Kentucky. And there was a lot of military joining of the army back then, and they would muster there. And I got all those records and things of that nature. So, you know, for me, I just want to dive in. You know, I want to call Henry Louis Gates and say, Mr. Gates, I need your help. Because I just, you know, you just want to know things. And I don't know if I was showed. I think I showed it to Mr. Turner of the Family Dollars, Dollar Generals. Mm-hmm. My great-great-grandparents on my other side had a grocery store. Mm. And in the early 1900s. And, I mean, just things.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And they had a slogan. And I was like, they thought of a slogan? They had a slogan that, and a logo that said, for particular people. And in other words, you know
what that means.
Yeah. So I was like, they were smart. I love this. So, you know, when I found out different things like that, that little stuff, you know, but to some people it might be boring, but it wasn't boring. I'm like, man, they really did stuff, different things. So then it kind of opened the door for me to understand my own multifaceted personality as I endeavor in multiple directions. So we'll get Lisa back, and we'll talk about the slave records, the breed books, the deed books, the slave advertisements, and slave schedules, as well as plantation tax rolls and slave master records. So we'll be talking about that, and that's on the next time. Now, a couple things before we get the guest on here in about 5 or 6, 7 minutes. Today's book is Ditch the Act. Cut the you know what. Reveal the Supreme. Well, see, that's what my subtitle in my head is. his subtitle is Reveal the Surprising Power of the Real You for Greater Success. And Ryan Foland is the co-author, and he's a brand consultant, speaker, and author. So we're going to empowerment today for the 5 o'clock hour. Here's a little bit about a few things going on, because my news is always different than other news you hear. Out of Boston, America's first newspaper dedicated to ending slavery is being resurrected and reimagined more than 2 centuries later as the nation continues to grapple with its legacy of racism. The revised version of The Emancipator is a joint effort by Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research and the Boston Globe's opinion team that's expected to launch in the coming months. Co-editors-in-chief Deborah Douglas and Amber Payne say the new online publication will feature a wide range of content by respected scholars and seasoned journalists. They say the goal is to reframe the national conversation around racial injustice. And that is to counterbalance. Don't make me be uncomfortable. Mainstream America's comfort scales. Do we have a room measurement that we'll be able to put in a room that we can measure people's levels of discomfort? Have they invented that yet?
Sounds like an opportunity for people to start making our go back to making our own stuff, selling our own stuff, putting our own stuff out there.
Well, I think we're doing
by us for us at another level. Since they want to block it all, well, then we just continue to start our own.
Well, that's not what they're blocking. They're blocking your education,
yeah.
And they are blocking your ability to recognize your history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, whenever I would wig out when people would say, why do we need HBCUs? Why would you even form your lips to ask that question? I mean, I just, that right there, so we can't just sit around.
Wonder where those people are now.
Well, I quiet. They're quiet. anyway, out of Nashville, news out of Nashville. Tennessee lawmakers, right up the street on Capitol Hill, are mulling a proposal advocated by the governor to make Juneteenth a state holiday. What? Did I just read that? He is mulling about it to make Juneteenth a state holiday.
Okay.
Should we wait for the commercial? I mean, for the spot break to wager?
Of course.
Okay. We don't openly gamble, so, you know, okay, I bet you some good coffee. Yesterday, a Senate panel advanced the legislation backed by GOP Governor Bill Lee. House lawmakers briefly stalled the bill hours later. I wonder why.
Of course.
Is.
Oh, y'all were serious about this? Oh, right. Wait a minute. Right. Hold up.
Why are you trying to appease the black people? But supporters say the bill has not been spiked. Oh, okay. The June 19th holiday celebrates the end of slavery in the U.S. Lee has noted that Juneteenth is a federal holiday and a very important day in U.S. history. Well, praise the Lord, he understands. A legislative fiscal note estimates that the new holiday will cost the state roughly $692,000 annually to compensate state employees who would need to work. Well, do they work on President's Day?
I don't think so. Isn't that a federal holiday?
That's a federal, but I mean state.
State. That's a good question. You still can't. I don't know.
Well, just one for the other. Because we don't get President's Day, but we get King Day.
Mm-hmm.
And some places don't get King Day. Mm-hmm. They get President's Day.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess it all depends on what your priorities are. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I'm pretty sure what ours are here. But I think everywhere I've basically worked, it's been that way.
Yeah.
Now, I had mentioned to you all earlier about the 57 institutions the FBI now says that have received the bomb threats this year. This continues to be a national issue that has impacted 57 of 104 HBCUs. And now, I think when I, a couple weeks ago, I brought in the subject of, they also are calling into this places of worship as well. So these numbers continue to escalate. And the FBI says that they have deployed an aggressive investigation. So let us hope that that is the case. This is Dana. Hey, Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I am good. I was called to tell you, as a state employee, we are off on President's Day.
Okay, so you did get that one on.
Yes, we did get that one off.
Do you get King Day?
Yes, we do get King Day also.
What?
Well, I'm shocked, too.
Well, okay, let's see if y'all going to get Juneteenth or not.
Well, we're going to keep hope alive.
Let us keep hope alive, and I'm with you on
this,
okay?
Thank you, and I'll keep you posted on anything else.
Okay, all right, have a good one, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye. She said keep hope alive on that one. Yes, well, we want to keep hope alive on it. And I will be tracking it to make sure I do. Because, you know, those folks who work up there have got to, you know, be tired sometimes. Because it flows like the mighty Mississippi up there some days. Anyway, let's take a time out, come back with our book. Now, the author's entitled Ditch the Act. I say cut the you-know-what. And in my head, that's the title of this book, because that's kind of where it comes from, that type of stuff, you know, getting down to the real you and all that bacon phoniness. Put it in the dumpster. Put it to bed. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411? With Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic 24 as you continue out towards Murfreesboro, Buena Vista, Trinity Lane. That wreck should be out of there hopefully in just a few minutes. Busy on the South Loop as well. This traffic report brought to you by Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, presenting On the Horizon, contemporary Cuban art from the Perez Art Museum, Miami. An exhibition that explores the diverse culture and political landscapes of Cuba and its diaspora through the paintings, photographs, sculptures, and videos of 50 artists of different generations. Drawn from one of the largest public collections of Cuban art in the U.S., On the Horizon is on view through May 1st. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and you can find out more about all the exhibitions and programs at fristartmuseum.org.
On the next Jazz Night in America, the artistry of Jasmia Horn.
When I'm scatting, I don't think about a horn player. I just become the horn player.
How the acclaimed young vocalist takes scatting as a bridge to her ancestors and heeds a social call. That's on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center. Grammy-winning vocalist Gregory Porter and his band return to the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center on Monday, February 28th. Recognized for his captivating baritone voice, the soulful singer and musical storyteller is known for hits like Hey Laura and Liquid Spirit.
Hey Laura, it's me. Reroute the rivers, let the damned water feed. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free.
An evening not to miss. Show is at 8 p.m. Get your tickets at NashvilleSymphony.org. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. You know, I had just opened the book. I probably saw this when it first came, Ryan. And you have this little character that you have drawn in the inside. And I was just getting ready to introduce you, and I saw this. I was like, this is hilarious. Well, you took a Sharpie, and like, this is funny.
Yes, ma'am. I've been drawing stick figures for close to 7 years now. It's a daily routine, and I love it. I draw stick figures everywhere. I'm actually looking at Sharpie markers all around me. They're magnetized to me.
And I'm trying to be serious and talk about who you are. And there's a stick character right there that you drew in. And you write, ahoy, may this book serve as a reminder to be you. And you stepped into the I'm going to be myself zone, and as always, so this was, it was hysterical, because you have, your stick figure has big feet, too. that dude got skis. Are you a cartoonist?
Hey, he's just being him.
Are you a cartoonist?
You know, I consider myself a stick figure artist, not a cartoonist. I'm still working on the funny part, although apparently it's funny, so maybe I'm onto something.
Oh, no, especially when somebody's trying to be serious to read your bio information and I bust out laughing. This is hilarious. Anyway, Ryan Folan is, among many things, a keynote speaker, a communication strategist and personal branding expert, as well as co-author of the new book, Ditch the Act, Reveal the Surprising Power of the Real You for Greater Success. And I'd like to think of it as cut the crap.
You know what? It was between Ditch the Act or Cut the Crap. Okay. That was, you know, yeah.
Because I'm like, well, he's basically saying the same thing, you know.
You know, it's a funny true story is that we actually sold the book with the title Expose Yourself.
Oh, wow.
And part of being yourself is, you know, is being a bit vulnerable and exposing yourself. And so the publisher actually bought it as that. And then one of the first conversations, they're like, all right, so we're going to have to talk about this title.
Clearly, there's going to have to be a conversation about this. And because it would have been taken the wrong way. Now, you do, as a brand consultant, how many years you've been in that business?
About six. And I tried for quite a while before it actually worked.
Okay. Now, since the word or the term branding is, you know, before it used to be image or used to be this or that, were you still involved in that process before the terminology brand was used?
You know, I would argue that I probably didn't realize that I was, but I was. And I've always been fascinated with how people share who they are with startup founders, how they share their personal side of the business. And so really, it's people marketing at the end of the day.
Okay, and knowing that that's the case, you have found multiple ways of how to market yourself and your ability to be open to communicating. Because I have discovered lately from various people in various fields out here, they really don't want to communicate. They just want to shoot you an email or a text, or, you know, they don't, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think that there is a real digital divide, and I think that one of the principles I believe in is that people want to do business with people. They don't want to do business with businesses, and I think we're so inundated from every channel that it's nice to just have a personal touch or a laugh or share a common moment or complain about the stupid stuff that happens every day. And I think that's what makes you connect with a company, is the people within the company. And so the better we are and the more comfortable we are at being human, I think the better we can get along and the better we can relate and the better we can figure out if the product that you have fit into my story.
Well, I've heard a lot of people that work in this business in music or promotions or whatever say that it's very rare when a radio station either answers the phone or you speak to a live person that answers your question, or you just end up, you know, they never talk to you. They never do. So that's why they love me, because I talk to them. But I'm able to get the what I need.
Yeah, it reminds me of the common challenge we all have when we call our bank or an insurance company and we find ourselves yelling into the phone, I just want to talk with a person.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, people is what make the world go round, and I think that sometimes when we're focused on pushing products and services, we forget that the most important piece of the puzzle is the person, or the people, is really what it does for them. And when you connect with people on a relatable level,
yeah,
you tell stories, and you're not necessarily selling, you're connecting, and I think that's the big difference in a different approach.
Yeah, and I would say, like, for depending on different kind of businesses. A lot of the online services that you get or for websites or all that kind of stuff, they don't answer any of your questions. They do this FAQs, and they do all this. It sounds like it might be like, and you know, you're like, I am wasting so much time with this. I got to read all this and watch the video, and it still does not answer your question. And it becomes a time waster. I don't know how much time these companies think people have to sit and, you know, and to me it's like the technology ones are the worst. Because that's who you need. I don't need you some of them don't even have phone numbers. Just send us an email and we'll get back with the 12th of never. When will you know? So you're trying to utilize the service that you're paying for. So when you're talking to these companies, because I know that's part of what you do, do they get it that, you know, what people want nowadays?
Well, you know, I think what you're saying rings true from a convenience standpoint from the company, and it's not as customer-centric. Who I typically work with would be the owner of the company or the executive team. And similarly, if they are hiding behind the company and they're not putting themselves out there and they're not visible and they're not talking with people, if they're not, you know, speaking publicly, then when they're less accessible, I think it resonates that same type of feeling. Like, yeah. You know, who's leading this charge? Yeah. Is it just a chat bot? Is it just a dial? How many numbers do I have to push? And exactly. So I believe that when a leader steps up and starts the communication, starts the conversation, you see them in your social media feeds, you hear about them on the news, you read articles that share their expertise, then there's actually a connection. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, your analogy of not being able to talk with a person from a customer service side, I think the parallel to the executive suite is people want to connect, and they're not always going to call the CEO. And it's easy sometimes to hide behind the company brand, but when leaders put themselves out there and actually get to know people, you know, shake hands and kiss babies, well, maybe a blow kit in this COVID era. But again, this idea of when you put yourself out there and let people get to know you, yeah, then they get to know your company, and people buy from those people and companies who they know, like, and trust.
Right. Well, and it makes you more comfortable with continuing with an agreement, especially one that you know, like paying for your website or paying for your podcast or any of that kind of stuff. You know, you just, yeah, you know, because those things right there, they put their tentacles in you, they got you, and they don't respond. And I found there's a difference between them and, like, for example, the phone company, who needs to know. They better listen to us, because I think at one point in time they were not, and I think that the customers complained mightily about that, and now they have more options for help, or at least for someone to listen, whether they're listening or not, or have it on mute or whatever. But at least you get an opportunity to express what the problem is, because I'm about solutions, okay?
I like that, and I think that people care about the problems that they have, and so it's really, business is about that perfect match between someone's problem and someone's solution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, in the book, Ditch the Act, I like the fact that your book is to be, bluntly speaking, that...
Yeah, what's it say up with that? What's it say on the back cover? What are the first two words?
It says, be human.
Yep.
And
what's the next sentence?
It says, it's the only way to get ahead in business today. But you're talking about honesty and authenticity. And,
yes.
Since that is the case, so that's where we are Ryan, is no one wants to be honest, and no one wants you to see their authenticity. So how in the world can you imagine that a person who has no example out here is going to be able to pick up your book and learn something from it?
You're saying, maybe I wasn't understanding the question, you're saying if there aren't leaders that are being honest
exactly.
and authentic,
if there's no examples. Yeah. You know, if we mm-hmm. had, if we have we had the President of the United States the last one lying every 15 minutes. So
still lying.
Okay, and still to this day. And there's not a drop of honesty there. And authentically, we saw it, but we were like, are you kidding? This is it? Yes, but it worked for him. It worked. I mean, 70 million people love it.
Well, I think he also placated towards a certain demographic of people who felt like they might not have been heard or that they resonated into them that, you know, what is honest to them is something that is drawn to those lies, and it's almost like they want to believe something that is not in reality. And I think that the further we go down, you know, a path that is incongruent with the truth,
right.
the deeper people dive into it and the deeper people commit. And that's a really scary thing.
It is. It is. Now, when you're trying to operate a business or if you're an individual person yourself, be human. You know, that is all good and wonderful, and we should be. But why do you talk about in the book why some people wouldn't want to be humane?
Sure. Well, a lot of people are not honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times there are water cooler conversations or the first few minutes when you connect with somebody on a Zoom or on a phone call. Typically, especially if you haven't met somebody before, there's like, hey, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? And usually the person defaults to, oh, I'm great. It was great. And then the person responds, well, good. Well, I'm great. Well, let's talk. But are they both really great? Probably not. And so I find sometimes the best opportunity to be authentic is as the conversation starts. You know, if you didn't get good sleep last night and somebody asks you how you're doing, I challenge you to say, well, I could be better because I didn't get much sleep last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person might be like, oh my gosh, you too? And now you're actually talking about something that you can relate to because you're actually being honest. So I think, and you know, from my own personal experience, I was led to believe that in order to be successful in business, you had to fake it till you make it. And that didn't work. I didn't feel like I was my honest self. And so for me, being a little quirky, drawing stick figures, you know, doing what feels right for me, it has been able to be more honest, and I'm able to connect with more people on a non-business level, which helps them get to know me, which can lead to them wanting to do business with me.
Well, clearly you have a creative side to you. You got some creative juice in you, because I see you have a female stick figure in here, too. I'm like, oh, she's got her high heels, okay.
Yeah, how big are her feet? That's the real question.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, as you're examining yourself, you're also giving us a little something light, because, you know, people sometimes beat themselves up, and it's not necessary. When we come back from the break, Ryan, in chapter 2, don't be ideal, be real. That's what this is all about. Ditching the act, you write, ditching the act and exposing yourself is not just a personal branding hack or something you just do online. And it's a lifestyle that is incorporated into both your digital and real life networks. Talk about that chapter and why you have this need in you to want to get people to be honest and authentic. And can you all do it? Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic 24 as you continue out towards Murfreesboro, Buena Vista, Trinity Lane. That wreck should be out of there hopefully in just a few minutes. Busy on the South Loop as well. This traffic report brought to you by Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
WFSK's Artist of the Week feature puts the spotlight on smooth and contemporary jazz recording artists. This week, hear from pianist, composer, producer David Benoit. Enjoy hearing some prime cuts and win his latest release, A Midnight Rendezvous. That's Artist of the Week on Thursdays during the noon hour on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's Jazz Station. Support for WFSK comes from the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center. Grammy-winning vocalist Gregory Porter and his band return to the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center on Monday, February 28th. Recognized for his captivating baritone voice, the soulful singer and musical storyteller is known for hits like Hey Laura and Liquid Spirit.
Hey Laura, it's me. Unreroute the rivers. Let the damned water feed. There's some people down the way that's thirsty, so let the liquid spirit free.
An evening not to miss. Show is at 8 p.m. Get your tickets at NashvilleSymphony.org.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7. News headlines and issues of the day. Then at 8 o'clock, my guest is best-selling children's book author Dorena Williamson. Her latest book is entitled The Celebration Place. She's also First Lady and co-founder of Strong Tower Bible Church in Franklin. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Up with the guest and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And this hour's book is entitled Ditch the Act, Reveal the Surprising Power of the Real You for Greater Success, co-authored by Leonard Kim and Ryan Folan. And one half of the team is with me, and that's Ryan. What does Leonard do, Ryan?
So Leonard is a digital marketer as well. He and I are no longer working at the same company that we had built. Okay. And that's actually a funny real story that I often tell, because writing the book actually helped us to realize that we weren't the best business partners for the long term. And the process of going through really a deep dive into this idea of who I am, what's important to me, helped me to come to the point where I felt the courage and strength to actually move on from that. So this idea of being who you are and being true to who you are has implications well beyond a business perspective. It can really help you to find and become somebody who you are proud of. Maybe there are things in your life that, or people in your life that you're dealing with that are toxic, that are not the best to be around. Mm-hmm. But if you're not honest with yourself, you're going to stick around them. And oftentimes we get stuck into relationships where maybe we're not completely honest with them, not completely honest with ourselves, and that's the root of all failure right there.
Yeah.
So this book actually helped me to realize that there were unhealthy elements of that relationship, and I wish him the best. And everything that we've talked about in the book is really, before we jumped to the break, was this idea that it's really a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And something that I think helps us to recognize this is that different times of the day, you're interfacing with different people. And maybe you're a certain way when you're in the office with your boss. Maybe you're a totally different person when you're with your kids. Maybe you're another person when you're with your husband and not with your kids. Maybe when you're out with the girls, it's like you let the hair down and you get a little bit wild. But we have these different acts that we put on. And whether it was my grandma who would always say, like, Ryan, sit up straight. And, like, when grandma's around, I was up straight. But there's a disconnect if we're putting on these different masks all day long, and it can become exhausting. What happens is that if who you really are is different than how you really show up, and if that happens over time, that disconnect increases. And there are a number of tragic cases where people live a public life and you think everything's great and amazing,
right. But
secretly things are not good. And when they're not honest with their friends and family about what's going on, then they get into a deeper, darker circle, and sometimes that leads them to people taking their own lives at the extreme case.
Yeah.
So this idea of ditching the crap, which I love that as a title as well, which you suggested, think about it as like looking internal and really understanding who you are and being proud of that, even if it's not that iconic image that you think other people want to see. And when you understand that working through that fear and maybe being a little bit vulnerable and sharing how you're really feeling, it's so difficult to get to that point. But once you do, it actually is the most courageous thing you can do.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think that, you know, they feel so bad. Their self-worth, self-value, self-esteem is just in the toilet. And they don't want to reveal that side of them for fear that it will turn people off. Should they step out of the boat on that one and, you know, just be them, you know, because that has good and bad consequences.
Well, let's think about the different audiences to which you can warm up to. A lot of times, people are looking online for what they're comparing themselves with. Mm. Or they're looking at their siblings or other people, and it's so easy to look at other people and feel bad about yourself. Mm. But if you don't process those emotions, if you don't share those emotions, if you don't work through those emotions, then that could really like pile up and then blow up in an unhealthy way. Mm. And so if you think about it, most of the time, you end up ditching the act to your close friends or your family or people who've known you for your whole life. And that's because you have a relationship with them and you trust them. And so you can go to them crying or with a difficult situation, and they listen and they're there and they give you the advice that they can, and they give you a hug and they support you. When it comes to like online or an environment with people that you don't know, it seems very foreign to want to share anything that goes wrong, and so people put on this facade that everything's okay.
Yes.
Now, in the book, we talk about how one of the ways to start practicing this idea of ditching the act is to start small. Mm-hmm. These are not, you're not going to go up and be like, hey, I just met you, but I want to talk with you about my divorce, right? that's in the danger zone. But if you're meeting somebody and building a new relationship and they ask, like, hey, how's it going? If you're not, like, totally okay, maybe you can share, well, I'm a little down and out today, or I'm not feeling super great today.
Yeah.
When you do that, it opens up an opportunity for the other person to help you, to be there for you, to listen. And if we don't give people that opportunity, we'll never taste what it feels like for somebody to really, like, be there for us and feel comfortable being authentic.
Yeah.
So I often explain to people, somebody has to go first. And you might be talking with somebody and they might share something that's vulnerable or share something about their day that's frustrating or how annoyed they are with their kids or a fight that they got in with a friend of theirs. And if they open up that conversation, you then can participate. Mm-hmm. But if nobody goes first and everybody's just like, oh, I'm fine, I'm great, oh, hey, yeah, things are great, things are amazing, then there's never that open dialogue of conversation. So a way to start is just to, when somebody says, hey, how are you doing? Actually try to be honest and don't just default to saying, oh, I'm great, things are great. Because there's not much to sort of dissect or share or talk about there.
Right. Well, and sometimes, you know, people used to always say, I'm fine, fine, fine. And that would be, yeah. You know, and they looking different, opposite of fine. You know, it's like their facial expressions.
Yeah.
And
their body language and everything. And you're like, you know, look fine.
How do you define fine? I mean, come on. So in the chapter, Your Brand Precedes You, on page 80,
yeah.
Do you have all your book with you, Ryan?
I do, yeah, I do.
On page 82, you have being honest with everyone, not just your friends. You write, chances are you may already be ditching the act in your personal friendships without even realizing it. And
yeah, you know what makes friends friends?
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so if you have a rough day or if you're dealing with something at work or something's on your mind that you need to talk out, you talk that out with your friend. And by the fact that you're opening up and you're sharing some of your challenges and you're asking for advice, that is ditching the act. And when you do that, what happens? The person listens, they give you a hug, they're there for you. They maybe help you out how they can. Maybe you guys go out just to get your mind off of it.
Yeah.
And there's this powerful interaction where I truly believe as humans, we want to help other people when they're in trouble. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're drowning. It could be you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the relationships that you have with your friends, they're there for you no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll take a bullet for you. There's these, like, really good friends. And a lot of that is because you are open and you ditch the act with them, and you'll be there for them just like they are for you. So if you take that concept and you think, well, I have such a crazy connection with my friends, why is that? It's because they really know who I am. And so if you take that into the workplace, how well do you know the person that sits in the cube next to you? How well do you know your boss? And so, you know, an example of ditching the act that I experienced that was a powerful moment of realization for me, my dad was having some pretty challenging health problems, and he ended up in the hospital, and, you know, I'm very close with my dad, and it very much impacted me. And so I came to work, and my boss was like, well, how are you doing? And I'm like, fine, I'm fine. And he looks at me, he's like, you don't look fine, right? Like, you can tell. So I stepped into his office, and we shut the door, and I just told him what was going on with my dad. And he didn't judge me. He said, dude, if you need to go home, you can go home. Like, I'm here for you. I'm here to support. Mm-hmm. And my dad's gotten better, but I feel more connected to my boss than I did before that. Imagine if I tried to hide that from him. Then he might think that me being in a bad mood is related to my work or my ability to do my job, but I just had a personal thing challenge at home. And knowing that he's there for me makes me not need to go home, because I'm here. I feel like I'm in a supportive environment. So if you're a boss, look for opportunities to share stuff in your life that is more challenging or that you're having problems with or that you need advice on. And that whole process of opening up is going to help you get to know your employees better. And when your employees get to know you, then you become friends. So this idea of how can we look for opportunities to connect more with people, a lot of times it's just through being real with each other, and it's less fake and less facade, and, like, you can tell when people are being disingenuous.
Oh, yeah. else you can tell? Yeah. Attention, people who are disingenuous. We can tell. Attention, all of y'all. We see through your phoniness. We see it. Because I think largely with the online stuff, Ryan, people think they can hide behind the screen and put up glossy and flossy, you know,
airbrush,
be beautiful all the time and skinny and, you know, wearing the best. And I'm like, the devil's a lie on that. You know, that's not how you think. You know, you got some wrinkles. You know, you don't always sit around the house with makeup, you know. That's just a lie.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I try to remind myself is that people, I don't think they're as interested in your story of success, uh-huh. right? Because sometimes you come across as braggy. But I think people care about how they see themselves in your story. And I find that if I'm talking with people and they mention, like, I was talking with a client and she mentioned something about yoga, I was like, yoga? You do yoga? And she's like, yeah, I do yoga. I'm like, I do yoga. Oh, my gosh. And we just, like, started talking about yoga. So when you find out things about people, yeah. it gives you a chance to, like, have common ground and relatability. But if you're putting on a front and you're acting as if, then you don't have – your guard's not going to be down for people to really connect with
That's
you.
That's true. And then people are uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, speaking of online, this is just a real quick tip if people want to do a quick test. If they are on LinkedIn, which is a very professional platform, yeah. if they look at their LinkedIn bio, there's a good chance that if somebody reads it, there's no mention of that person being human. So, you know, they're sales over sales, and they this percentage, and they did this, and this is how awesome they are, and then they're great, and they're amazing, and this is what they do, and they can help you with this. But it's like, well, do you have two dogs? Do you have kids? What do you like to do when you're not working? Give me something here. Give me something to talk to you about.
So I guess that's part of the authentic bio that you speak of in the book?
It is. It is. So you've heard of a resume, right?
A resume?
Yeah, resume.
Of course.
It's everything that you've done that's great, grand, and awesome, right?
Of course.
We help people go through a process called the failure resume.
Oh.
Imagine that you made a list, the exact opposite of a resume. A resume is everything that's good, great, and grand about you. Okay, a resume is all, a failure resume is all the stuff that you don't want anybody to know about, all the stuff you failed at. Like, there's going to be more than a page, right?
If you're honest, if you're lying, you can put it on a sticky note.
So the exercise is, if you look at something that went wrong in life, like a failure that you had, what was the actual learning lesson as a result, and how did that change you as a person? There's a good chance that when we fall hard, it actually impacts our lives, like we change materially, or we look at the world in a different lens. And sometimes those stories are super powerful to help people get to know who we are as a result of where we've been. So I work with a lot of, I don't work with a lot of people that are trying to get jobs, but I like to help people who are trying to get jobs. And in the interview room, they hand over the resume, they're in the hot seat, and they feel the pressure to explain everything that is good, great, grand, and amazing about them.
Sure.
But here's the thing. Somebody does not want to hire you to make mistakes on their dime. And if you can articulate your experience, showing that you've been there, done that, learned the lesson, you can help reinforce that you truly are someone who's bringing skills based on experience. And the example would be, let's say that you're in an interview and they ask you, so tell me about your leadership style. The default answer might be, well, I am this type of leader and here's what I do and this is an example of when I was an amazing leader. It's like, okay, that sounds like a lot of buzzwords. But imagine for a second that they ask you, what's your leadership style like? And you say, well, Let me tell you about a time when I wasn't the best leader. And then you tell a story of when you actually, you didn't do it right. And then you recognize and you learn that that's not the way to do it. And that prompted you to go back and get your MBA and to practice leadership and to go to Toastmasters and to work with people in a new way. And so the reason I'm telling you that story is how I view leadership is influenced by my experience. And I feel like I am in a position that I am my true best leader because of what has happened. And that comes across more authentic. It showcases that you have grown. It showcases that, you know, you're bringing maturity to this position.
Yeah.
And so there's opportunities to share stuff from your quote-unquote failure resume to help people get to know you. And a long-form bio, an authentic bio, if you go to my website and you read about me, I tell you about getting bullied as a kid with my freckles. I tell you about how I had business partners that screwed me over. I tell you about all this crazy stuff that happened to me. And it's those stories that before I was afraid to share because I was afraid people would judge me. But now people contact me. I get online with them. They've read my website and they're like, Ryan, I feel like I actually know you. And that's because I've opened up to them like I would a good friend. And with that information, it allows them to have this deeper connection with me than something superficial when they read all of a bunch of highlights and stuff like that.
That's my formula for how I've been able to be on the air for so long. There's no sense in me acting like a goody-two-shoes queen floated in from heaven. When right. I have history, you know, God is good. And, you know, I have a past. I have a life, you know.
And those stories of your past is probably the most powerful thing that you have.
Yeah.
Because that's your experience. You have these things that you can, stories to tell.
Yes, you know.
But if you don't tell the stories...
Yeah.
People aren't
going
to get to know you.
No, and then I'll be sitting around all phony. I can't, you know, because I would be too worried, Ryan. I don't know about you, but I would be too worried with somebody. I'm somewhere faking the funk out here, pretending. And somebody from the past I went to high school with or grew up in my neighborhood, Shane, is that you? And I mean, you know what I'm saying. You're somewhere, you think you're on high or speaking or wherever you are, and then somebody's like...
Well, what is that saying, something about, like, the problem with lying is that once you start, you can't stop?
Can't stop. So, you know, be honest.
If you put it all out there, nobody can hold anything against
That's
you. It's
true.
Like...
That's true.
Yeah, that happened to me, so what? I already talked about that.
Yeah.
That happened to me, so what? I'm stronger because of it.
For real. And that to me has been, you know, one of the, I relate to people so easily because it's a lot in my story. It, you know, comes out good, though, but.
Well, and I bet you people love to talk with you because they hear your story, they see themselves in your story.
They do. They're like, oh, my God, you had a kid when you were a kid. You got married when you were a kid. Yes. Well, I got stuff.
And for all of those kids that got married when they were kids and kids who had kids when they were kids, you guys are fast friends. You share life experiences.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's to me has been a point of encouragement because back then it was – you know, you were shamed and all that, but I'm way past that.
Yeah.
Today's
I think we live in a world that's feeding for authenticity because there is so much misinformation
and
so many people that are.
It's
crazy.
It really is. So if you all could just walk in authentic shoes out there, and some honesty and integrity, oh, for the days. Today's book is Ditch the Act. Reveal the surprising power of the real you for greater success. And I do want to thank my guest and co-author, Ryan Folan. He's a brand consultant, speaker, and author. And Ryan, where is the book available?
So the book is available on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. And if you want to find more about me, you can just go to ryan.online. Ryan.online. That's where you find me online.
Okay, excellent. Ryan.online. And, Ryan, thank you so much. Man, you got an authentic bio. I'm like, man, don't make me have to think back that far.
Well, hey, to sort of wrap this up just for a little fun and to put myself out there, I know you also play some music, so I've got a little rap for you. You open for a little rap?
Well, if you got some multi-talents, what you got?
Here is the deal. Let me give it to you real. The key to connection is to learn to reveal, because you are not perfect and neither am I. And that is the exact reason that we see eye to eye, because everybody's different, but we are all the same. To be perfectly imperfect is how you win the game. And if you only showcase good and do not share the bad, you will miss connections that you never knew you had. Facegram, TikTok, are you LinkedIn? Are you snapping out of TikTok trying to fit in? Stop worrying about everybody else. Focus on being your authentic self, because when you learn to ditch the act and learn to be yourself, you open up a window to have people help you out.
Whoop, there it is. All right, Brian. Yes, man. Okay, yeah, so that's for your second and third job. You're going to wrap up the side.
That's my insurance policy. That's my insurance policy in case everything else does not work.
Ryan's going to wrap the training so you all can get it, okay? You get it? You got it? Good. Ryan, thank you so much. That tickled me to death. I said, he's serious. He ain't playing. Thank you so much, man. And this, of course, with the rest of my shows goes up on my podcast. Go to SharonKays411.com. And I'm trying to maintain a level of on-timeness with getting the shows up, y'all. So give me a couple of days, and then it'll be up there. Anyway, Ryan, thank you so much. And I feel lifted, and I appreciate you very much for your time today, okay?
Well, it was a pleasure. And you keep telling your stories, all right? And keep doing good work.
Baby, I won't stop. I've been on the air probably longer than you've been on Earth. I'm not going to stop that.
I respect that. Mad respect.
That definitely. All right, you take care. All right. Have a good rest of the day.
I will. You too.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. That's all we have for you, Nashville ALL. You will have the very best of the best, and don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon.